Brethren, for the few moments that remain in this meeting, I'd like to look at four scriptures that bring before us the subject of sacrifice. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, in a few moments, we're going to go to some further scriptures that bring before us the subject of sacrifice on a very practical note. And I must preface my remarks by saying, brethren, that I don't know very much about sacrifice in my own life, but I do know what Scripture brings before us. And in bringing before us these scriptures, I trust that what exercises my own soul will perhaps exercise yours as well. But you know, when we take up any line of truth in Scripture, it's always to bring before us some aspect of the person and work of Christ. I say that again, every line of truth that we follow in the Word of God is to bring before us some aspect of the person and work of Christ. And that's why I began here in Ephesians chapter 5, because here we have brought before us that supreme sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in the measure in which you and I enter in to this sacrifice, it will be the springboard in connection with the sacrifices that we're going to speak of in a few moments. It's interesting that here it's brought before us particularly in connection with the burnt offering. Because if we were to go back to the book of Leviticus, where the various offerings, the various sacrifices are enumerated for us, we would find that the first is the burnt offering. Because, as has often been pointed out, the burnt offering was for God. It rose as a sweet-smelling savor to God. And it was mentioned this morning, but I'm going to repeat it, that I believe, brethren, it's good to move beyond what the work of Calvary means to our hearts. Now, don't misunderstand me. The work of Calvary, I trust, means everything to your heart and mine. But to move beyond that and to see what it means to the heart of God, I believe is what produces real worship in your soul and mine. There will be true worship in our souls only in the measure in which we enter in to what the person and work of Christ means to the heart of God. And to see that the Lord Jesus, in going to Calvary, his first and foremost motive was to offer himself without spot to God, to glorify God and to satisfy God as to the question of sin. And I trust, as the result of our being together this morning, to look back to Calvary, that there has been a deeper appreciation of that supreme sacrifice. All our blessings spring from the fact that the Lord Jesus offered himself at Calvary's cross. And all those sacrifices that are brought before us in the Old Testament, they were but pale reflections and feeble foreshadows of what was really in the mind and heart of God, looking forward to that time when his Son would offer himself as that supreme sacrifice. We sometimes sing that hymn, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our guilt away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." What a sacrifice! And when we see the Lord Jesus in the glory, we're going to be occupied with a lamb freshly slain. We're never going to forget for all eternity what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary's cross as that sacrifice. But now I'd like to go to the book of Hebrews for two further sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Well, I read this scripture second because this is what we might say is the next thing. As we consider that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, oh, it ought to produce in our hearts and on our lips that note of praise. When Israel, redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb and delivered by a mighty hand through the Red Sea, looked back and realized what God had done for them, the next thing you find is they're a singing people. And brethren, we ought to be the singingest people on earth. When we think of what God has done for us, when we think of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, oh, there ought to be that note of praise. But I'd just like to apply this, first of all, in connection with the privilege we had this morning of collectively offering up the sacrifice of praise. Because this morning, when we came to remember the Lord Jesus, we didn't come to get, we came to give. We came to give the sacrifice of praise. And brethren, I believe we need to be exercised, each one of us, brothers and sisters alike, that when we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus on Lord's Day morning, that we would come with a heart overflowing with an appreciation of his person and work, so that there would be that note of praise. And I'll speak very plainly, it's too late to sit down at 10 to the hour and try to generate a response of praise in our hearts. If we haven't been occupied with Christ during the week, there isn't going to be that suitable note of praise when we come on Lord's Day morning. Why is it so often there are long pauses at the breaking of bread? And I don't mean that we should be tripping over one another either. But why is it sometimes we'll sit there for even 10 or 15 minutes and there isn't that note of praise? You know, brethren, I suggest that times like that are more a sign of weakness than piety. It's because we haven't individually been in the enjoyment of the person of Christ. It's like those six water pots in John chapter 2, and I realize there's a prophetic character to what we have there, but I've just thought an application of those six water pots representing to us perhaps 6 days of the week. And when they wanted wine, which speaks of joy and praise in Scripture, what were they to do? Well, they were to fill the water pots. And when they filled them to the brim. Because if you fill something to the brim, there isn't room for anything else. And when they filled the water pots, then the Lord had something that he could take and change to wine, which I say speaks of joy and praise. And if we fill the water pot 6 days of the week, when we come on Lord's Day morning, there will be something to pour out to the true governor of the feast. And so let's be exercised, the sacrifice of praise. And isn't it tremendous to think that so much does he value the response of your heart and mine that he counts it as a sacrifice? Maybe sometimes on Lord's Day morning, we think of some little effort that we put forth to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Some of us have families we need to get ready. Some have a short drive. Others have longer drives. We sometimes feel we make some little sacrifice. But what is it, brethren, in comparison to his appreciation of having us there? And to count it as a sacrifice. You know, if there is a response, he puts that response in our hearts. I create the fruit of the lips. He's put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. And then he says, so much do I value it that I count it as a sacrifice. And I want to notice here, it's the fruit of our lips. Because he wants to hear our voices. It's not just from our heart. It ought to start in the heart. The Lord said of those in his day, this generation draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and praiseth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But you notice praise always has to do with what is audible. It's a new song in my mouth. It's the fruit of the lips. He wants to hear our voices. I've often been impressed with a little scripture in Song of Solomon where the bridegroom says to the bride, let me see thy countenance. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just want to see us at meeting. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear our voices. And I want to encourage you to open your mouth and sing. When these good scriptural hymns that are given out, that bring before us the person and work of Christ in such a real way, how can you sit there with silent lips? I know some of us can sing better than others. I know some of us have difficulty keeping on key or carrying a tune, but he wants to hear our voices, and it's sweet to his ears. That sacrifice of praise. But then it says something else continually. Because, brethren, he doesn't just want the sacrifice of praise for 1 hour on Lord's Day. He wants it continually. And he wants to hear our voices during the week. I'm always encouraged when I stay in a home and I hear the sister out in the kitchen getting the meal and she's humming or singing the words of some hymn. A brother's working around the house and there's that note of praise on his lips. Oh, I say, he counts it as a sacrifice. He's going to reward in a coming day for any little note of praise that was in our hearts and on our lips. So it's the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Brethren, we don't just have a lot to be thankful for. We have everything to be thankful for. But then notice in the very next verse, there's another sacrifice. It says in verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." That's why we this morning, after we remembered the Lord, there was a basket passed and there was an offering taken. That's what we have here in the 16th verse. What it is taking what God has given us in a temporal way and using it for his glory. To realize that what we have been entrusted with in a temporal way is not our own, brethren. We're only stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And God has entrusted much to us in these on this favored continent and in these favored lands. And what are we doing with it? Are we using it for his service? Are we using it for his glory? Are we doing good and communicating? He says it's a sacrifice. It's like Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. They had communicated with him in a temporal way. And Paul spoke of it as an odor of a sweet smell acceptable to God, a sacrifice acceptable to God. And to realize that what I have in a temporal way is not my own. And then to realize what it says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I say this, brethren, because we live in a society where we're not taught to make sacrifices. You know, this is not just the me first generation. That was my generation. My generation was the me first generation. But it's moved beyond that. It's the me only generation. We live for self. What we have, what in a material way, we talk about it as ours. We say, this is mine, and I'm free to do what I like with what I have. Oh, brethren, we need to get into the sanctuary. Money in the Old Testament is called, or in Scripture, is called filthy lucre. But in the Old Testament, there's an interesting expression, the shekel of the sanctuary. What's the difference? It's getting into the presence of the Lord with that dollar. Not going to the newspaper and finding out what the American dollar is worth against the Japanese yen and the Canadian dollar and the euro or whatever. But it's getting into the Lord's presence with that dollar and saying, now, Lord, what is this dollar worth? And Lord, what do you want me to do with this dollar? Well, to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, a sacrifice hurts. A sacrifice you have to feel. You know, on Lord's Day morning, when the offering is passed, I often think of that verse that says that every man is to give as God has prospered him. Do we really give as God has prospered us? And I'm going to speak very frankly and only of myself, but my putting a $10 bill in the offering on Sunday morning is not giving as God has prospered me. We need to be exercised, brethren. And brethren, there's so many needs amongst the Lord's people. There's so many needs in connection with gospel work. I realize that on this continent, there's not really the hunger or the desire for the gospel any longer. But you know, there are in other parts of the world tremendous needs. There's a hunger for the word of God. And I'm impressed more and more with how much gospel literature and how many Bibles go out around this country, or this world, I should say, every day. You know, they don't go out for nothing. It takes funds. And we need to be exercised, every one of us. Are we seeking to use what God has given us to further his work? There's only a few moments left of the day of grace. Only a few moments left for the gospel to go forth. Are we using that which he has given us for that purpose? But now I want to take this just a step further by reading a portion in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, we've spoken of sacrifice in connection with the sacrifice of praise. We've spoken of it in connection with using that which we have in a temporal or a material way for God's glory. But this is something even greater. This is giving ourselves as a sacrifice. Now, you know, most of us here will never be called on to give our lives as a sacrifice, to lay down our lives in death for our testimony. You know, there are many of our brethren this very day who meet in fear. Many of our brethren who are suffering imprisonment, torture, and even martyrdom for their testimony. We think of martyrs, we think of those in the past, but it's solemn to realize how many of our brethren in other parts of the world are laying down their lives for the testimony of Christ. And we may never be called on to lay down our lives in that way. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, but we are called on to give our bodies, notice this, a living sacrifice, to lay down our lives for the Lord, for his service, and for his people. That's really what sacrifice is. It's giving ourselves. I was impressed recently in going through the New Testament to find how many times it says of the Lord Jesus, he gave himself, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Collectively, he loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself to redeem us from this, deliver us from this present evil world, and so on. He gave himself. That's total commitment. And are we willing to give ourselves in sacrifice for him and for his people? It's an interesting verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We may never be called on to lay down our lives physically, but we are to lay down our lives in service for him, to himself, and for one another. You say, it takes some effort to go and visit that person. It takes some effort to do some shepherding in the assembly. Yes, it does. You've got to give of yourself. You've got to give of your time. You've got to give of yourself. And are we willing to give in that way? To give ourselves as a living sacrifice? We sang that hymn this morning. Love that transcends our highest power, demands our soul, our life, our all. Oh, brethren, when we think of his love in giving himself as that supreme sacrifice, when we think of the cost of our redemption, doesn't that motivate us now to give ourselves in service to him? You know, our bodies are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves now. We belong to another, and we're to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. And I look into the faces of young people. Many have been here this weekend. Some are still here. Young people with a real desire to please the Lord. Young people with a great deal of energy and zeal. Oh, use it for the Lord. Use it in the service of Christ. The world is vying for your energy. The world wants your time. I watch these people in the airport every day. Every time I go to the airport, these people in the corporate world, they're harried. They're under great pressure. They're rushing from one side of the continent to the other and around the world because the corporation they work for wants them to live, eat, and sleep for that corporation. But oh, let's learn to live, eat, and sleep for Christ. Let's learn to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, as it were, to lay ourselves on the altar. Oh, it will be a path. It will be a life of self-sacrifice, but it will be a happy life because it says it's more blessed to give than receive. And so, brethren, we've had this wonderful privilege of being together this weekend. we're going to leave this place. May it be with a savor of Christ in our souls. May it be with a fresh appreciation of that supreme sacrifice, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, offered himself without spot to God, and then to learn to cultivate the habit of praise in our lives, that sacrifice of praise, then to do good and communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices God is well pleased, and then to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. And brethren, the day is coming. It's not far off when he's going to make us to sit down, and he's going to come forth and serve us forever. Minister to our every joy there in the Father's house. Let's seek to be a living sacrifice for him in light of that day.